Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. I feel like my voice has become clearer since the canker sores. Like, usually there's a hello, but it's like, hello. However, more just a little bit more juicy when I talk. Hi, if you're just joining us for the first time, I have canker sores in my mouth. And boy, I mean, I've suffered with like sores in my mouth for like not a lot. Like it's been like canker sores as a kid. And then I used to chew gum so much that I would develop like abrasions in my mouth because I was just so addicted to gum. I don't chew it anymore. But and then that I had to have surgery on my tongue to remove that. And then now this, I have never gotten this medicine I got yesterday from my orthodontist. Orthopedic surgeon. called Dabacterol. If you have canker sores and you've ever used Dabacterol, holy fuck. It is the most painful thing I've ever... I mean, it's right up there with the biggest... The migraines. Like, that is always my reference for, like, the worst pain I've ever felt. And one time when I had my... when I had a colposcopy. That's where they, like, do a biopsy of your... uterus, I guess. Cervix. Something up there. And they're like, it's just going to be a little snip. And I blacked out from the pain. It was just so severe. What's the worst pain you've ever had, Noah?
I think a colposcopy, because it's like a pressure, like this in a location that I didn't ever think I could feel any pressure.
You didn't even know you could feel things down there.
Yeah. And just knowing that you're getting stuff snipped.
The visuals alone are just terrifying.
Yes.
That's so much of pain, too. is when I learned from reading that book called Healing Back Pain, that so much of our pain obviously comes from our brain. That's where it's like processed. And if you, you know, your whatever's happening in your back, like, already hurts. But when you hear words like pinched nerve or slip disc or bulging disc, and you just picture this disc being like crunched or this nerve being pinched, it, the visual of that description makes you in more pain. Thus, chiropractors and back doctors who want to sell you surgeries, they don't even know they're doing it, but they're selling you pain when they describe things like that. And then it makes their job more justified. No offense to back doctors out there. Some of you do great work. But a lot of these like things, it's just, it's so interesting when you kind of unpack what pain is. Because there's this amazing meditation on the Waking Up app about dealing with pain. And it's like, you're supposed, like, pain, you're supposed to think of as like a separate thing and be like curious about your pain. Like, if you're going through pain right now, like, think about your pain radiating from that space and think a bit like, what is it? Like, why am I feeling it? Like, what? And then there's some, he even says, Sam Harris says, that there are situations where you can be so mindful that pain, you can handle any form of pain and sit there like placidly. I think that's like, you know, when those monks self-immolate and like set themselves on fire and they just sit there peacefully, that's like almost kind of what they're dealing with. But man, going through this, if you're someone who suffers chronic pain out there, shout out. How do you, how are you a pleasant person? How are you a functioning person? I mean, I, everything falls by the wayside when I have this canker sore pain. It's so funny that like, oh, I can't write today. I can't do that call. And I feel justified in it. I can't fold my, I can't do my laundry. Everything feels insurmountable. I can't be in a good mood. I can't be nice to this person. I can't even process emotional pain that is coming from other areas accurately. Like yesterday, I got so upset about, I got depressed, honestly, about some relationships in my life that I wasn't even seeing clearly because I was seeing it through a lens of canker sore pain. Like, I was just so sad about the pain in my mouth and feeling alone with it. And no one's nurturing me. No one's taking care of me. I have to do this all myself, even though my mom did go and get the Dabactrol from the doctor, which was so nice of her. But, you know, sometimes I just want someone to, like, put their arm around me when I'm, like, sick. Or just, like, let me cry about my canker sore pain, which it feels ridiculous to cry about a little cankies. But, man, you apply this to Dabactrol, blinding pain, shaking, tears running down my face. And you have to do it yourself because you don't have a loved one. That's what it says on the instructions. If you don't have a boyfriend, you're on your own, bitch. Just tough it out like you're cutting off your own fucking arm under a boulder. That's truly how it felt. I was watching YouTube videos of people doing it and just trying to get any kind of sympathy of like, this is not just me, right? This is like so painful. It cauterizes essentially the wound so that it kills the nerves so that it can heal without you crying constantly. I mean, I'm trying numbing agents. I'm trying little patches. I think it's getting better. I woke up today, like kind of moved my tongue to be like, eh? Is it still there? Do you, if you go to bed with migraines ever, that's what I wake up. I always get migraines when I'm like falling asleep. And then sleep is the only thing that will like repair it. And whenever I wake up after a horrible migraine sesh, I open my eyes kind of like, is it gone? Is the dust settled? But this morning I felt that way and I was like, oh my God, it's gone. And then I was like, ah, I like ripped out my mouth guard. And it like struck one of the ulcers. I'm sorry to talk about it so much. I really like, I promise you I'm not a baby when it comes to pain. And even if I were a baby when it comes to pain, it doesn't matter because I'm feeling pain, right? Like, I think I always like to go, no, this, I actually deserve to feel this, you guys, because I have a really high pain threshold. And so like, just trust me because, but even if, you know, I didn't and it hurt, like, who cares? It hurts. And I'm trying everything I can to make it not hurt. I don't want to be this way. I love how I have to justify my own pain to myself. Do you get canker sores ever?
No, no canker sores, no cold sores.
Have you ever had one?
No, I've never had one.
Ooh, that's interesting. They have like a taste to them. I mean, most people get canker sores. And it is so interesting that I have no shame in admitting I have canker sores, but any other mouth sore, I mean, kill me before I mention it on, you know, YouTube, wherever we are. I look like shit today, too. And that's not me being like, please tell me I'm beautiful. I needed sleep because canker sores are a result of stress, lack of sleep. And I just haven't been able to sleep that much recently. Not because I'm like, I want to sleep and I can't. I just like don't want to sleep.
What are you doing instead of sleeping?
Being on my phone, Reddit. Mm. And like, you know the best thing to sleep though? Anyone who complains about sleep, including Nikki Glaser, pull up a book. I mean, that's for me. I pull up a book on my phone. Read a book and you will be sleeping within no time. It's always the answer and it never seems like what I want it to be. This was my last resort. What do you do when you're not sleeping, Noah?
Reading. And on my iBook app, I have it in scrolling mode and I feel like the scrolling makes my eyes roll to the back of my head eventually.
Oh, yeah, because you're like, ugh.
Instead of flipping, ugh. I just do the scroll up and it just...
I love that you do the iBook on your phone or iPad?
On my phone.
Yeah. Did you get that from me?
Were you
always reading on your phone?
Well, I started reading on my phone when in the U Up days because I just needed to read a lot, like all the books that we were talking about on the show.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it was just a great way of reading everywhere.
Yes, it is. That's when people buy me books, I go, please don't. I only read on my phone. I don't think a lot of people read on their phone, but people got to understand it's a great place to read. People always read on their iPads or whatever. It's like, why do we need a lot of, you read on your phone all the time. You read articles, you read tweets.
I like it because I can search for stuff. So if we're like referencing something from the book, I can just go in the search and find it.
Yes. That's what I like about it too. Let's sell people on this. Here's some negatives. You don't get to see your progress as much where you're like, oh, I'm holding this big piece of fucking chunky book that I already finished. You don't get the cover. Doesn't come up. Do you ever find, though, Noah, do you use the iBook app?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you ever find that text sometimes fucks up and like kind of like will all go to the side or it like chops in half? That might just be me because I read with really big font. No, you never find that?
No. I read smaller font.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I read like super big font, but sometimes that's a problem. But I make my page black and then the writing is like a, you know, sepia. So it's like very soothing to the eyes. And I swear to God, I can't get through. I'm still reading Cupid's Poison Arrow and still learning so much. I realize I don't have to get a degree if I want to become self-helpy. I can read a bunch of books and then I can bring those experts on to my to my thing and like just reference them. I mean, my act right now, the special that I'm preparing is turning into, it really is getting to I Do, which I haven't even finished that book because I just never got around to it. But I'm just telling girls what I've found in that book and how I've used it in my life, even though I've read a third of it. I'm really excited for you to see it, Noah. I hope I get it right. And I want you to go in and go, this part, not good. This, you know, maybe we should change this. The only thing I'm, you know, backing up against is the notion that, you know, I think I have like an actually good reason. And I share with women a good reason to not have sex too soon. Now, I know in the book, she says, don't let them in your mouth, your vagina, or your a-hole until you get a commitment. But I say, just not your vagina. Like that, I think has been working for me. I make a good argument, but I just feel like girls are like, but I want to have sex. I like it. And like, I make a pretty good argument for like, okay, you just don't get to do things because you like it. Like, it's not a good enough excuse. Like sometimes things you like don't, you know, eating all the food in your pantry, sometimes it would be a good idea, but that's not going to like make your life better. So you don't get to always do it. Punching people in the face is sometimes seems like the best, a thing you'd like to do and you don't do it. You know, I could go on and on with stuff all day long, or impulsively. We're like, but I like it. oh, okay, okay, then murder that person. You know, this is how we get road rage and stuff, is people don't stop themselves before the, I want to, and then, but what? But what someone brought up to me was like, you, I had said this weekend, I go, learn how to respect yourselves by, like, having boundaries. And my friend had said, I don't think you should make it a thing about women respecting themselves, because some women that want to have sex freely, they would argue that's respecting themselves. And I'm like, well, if it's not getting you the results you want every time you sleep with someone just because you want to, I'm not saying you don't respect. I think people have a really hard time admitting that they might have low self-esteem. And I don't have so much of a problem with that. And I have to find a way to communicate to those women who might go, no, I don't. I love myself. And it's like, doesn't mean it's bad if you don't like yourself. Like, we all have low self-esteem. We were born women. Like, that's what society makes us feel. So how do I get to them? How do I communicate with women who are really don't want, are really, because I don't relate to that. I don't relate to, I love going, I have low self-esteem. It's like, okay, that's fine. It almost acknowledges I'm better than I think I am. It's almost like kind of a brag. Do you know what I'm saying, Noah?
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, if maybe through the rest of what you're talking about, if finally there could be that point where they are like, okay, wait, that does kind of sound like what I'm going through.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Because ultimately, if we're not getting what we want out of relationships, and also to what your friend was saying, if a woman just wants to go out and just hook up and she's not interested in a relationship, that's a different conversation.
Totally different.
I think what you're talking about is for women who are having a hard time finding a partner and just having, you know, an easygoing, functioning relationship.
That's the distinction I need to make is, and then I also need to make the distinction of, honey, I know you think that you don't, that you're fine having casual sex, no strings attached. Women want to be able to approach sex the same way men do. And then you get into the gender, like, well, you know, you get into the thing of like, there are some women that are okay with it. There's a small percentage of women that can have casual sex that have more, that have a more masculine kind of essence. I don't know. There's some places, but those women, and I feel guilty about only speaking towards the heteronormative experience. And I promise all my listeners that I will get real gay pretty soon, queer, whatever you want to say. It's going to happen. I'm not in a relationship yet. This is all not working for me. I'll eventually be there and have lots to comment.
Well, did you hear about... I'm sorry. Did you hear about Elvira coming out? The woman
really?
That plays Elvira? She's been a lesbian for many, many years.
The whole time?
I'm
the
sorry.
The whole time?
She hasn't been a lesbian. She's been in a relationship with a woman, but she doesn't identify as a lesbian. She just fell
right.
in love with a woman.
She's just...
It was beautiful.
You know what? Great. I love that. Like, you don't have to, just because you date a woman doesn't mean you're like, I'm gay. And that's, and not that there's anything wrong with being gay. Truly. Like, it's just like, and then people get hung up on like, I'm pansexual. And people go, ew, what is that? Just stop it. Just be gay or whatever. It's like, let people be whatever the fuck they want. Who cares? Got into a really big debate. Not really big, but man, I have so much to say. I'm going to bring in the virtuoso, and we'll get into why I'm calling him that right now. So 1 second, let's bring him in, and we'll pick right back up. Andrew!
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/Nikki.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, Andrew.
Yo.
How'd you sleep?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I called you the virtuoso before I brought you in.
You told them about the...
I haven't told them. I just go... Because I was about to get into some stuff, and I go, you know what? Let's bring Andrew in here for this. Why are you the virtuoso?
Because I think, like, I'm just so great at comedy. Oh, the Myers-Briggs.
It's not Myers-Briggs. It's called 16personalities.com. And it's not Myers-Briggs, but it's damn close, but it's not officially Myers-Briggs. It's such a fun quiz. I really recommend all the besties go do it, and with their other friends and their people that you are work with or your partner.
You find out a lot about the people. You probably will end up having more empathy for them when you figure out,
yes,
oh, this is where they're coming from. This is why they are the way they are. And, oh, this is why they act the way they act.
It almost like because you read about this characterization of the person And then you, for me, it was like, oh my God, when I read mine, my breakdown of my personality.
Can we say who you are?
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. The commander.
Commander. The cunt. Commander.
Which, pretty much, if it's a female version, it's the cunt.
And if you're a man, you're just a boss.
Yeah, you're the commander of the ship. And if you're the woman, you're the fucking, you know.
We were both very Hillary. Small percentages of people of that
society.
Are that Steve Jobs was a commander.
And Noah was a mediator, which a lot of people in my life are mediators, right?
Yep.
Are you a mediator?
Yeah, I was.
So commander of me to out you.
She's very mediator on this show. I mean, it does fit her.
As soon as I heard, I didn't even know that was one of the classifications. And when she told us that, because I go, Noah, please do this. I want to know what you are. And I wanted you to do it with Avi. You guys were both mediators, right?
No, he's commander, which makes perfect
sense. Oh, he's commander. That's right. Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's so interesting. He's the only other commander I've met since doling this test out to everyone.
There can only be one.
I gotta get together and conquer some, you know, indigenous islands. So this Myers-Briggs thing is pretty much those tests that you hear, like I'm an ENJF or I'm a CUNT or whatever. And I don't really know what the letters all mean. I retook the test the other day and I got a different one, which was interesting because. And then I read all about it and I related to it less, although there were pieces of it that, you know, I think I'm commander / debater. But what I found and what I wanted to talk about that got me into this was that with a commander and especially with a debater, I feel closer to people when they engage in like an argument or like, you know, one of the questions on the test was, do you like to watch people fight? I do not like to watch people fight like in, you know, with their words. But I do enjoy when I feel closer to people and loved when they go head to head with me and try to like try to prove me wrong. And I get to like engage. And a lot of times commanders don't realize this. And I found this out through reading the thing. And I actually gave this exact advice. I was proud of myself because a couple weeks ago I was dealing with a friend who she was dealing with has a commander type personality where is always picking like arguments. And my friend tends to just shut down and give and just be like, okay, you're going to win all the time. So I'm just not even going to say anything. I may have mentioned this on the show. Sorry to repeat myself, but I told her, I go, I relate to this person you're talking about, even though I don't want to, because she seems awful, but mm-hmm. I relate to this person. And I have to say, when people shut down, when I'm trying to go, why did you do that? Or like, what? No, it's this way. And they just go, okay. I know that they don't think that I'm right. I know that they're just like, you're crazy and I'm done with it. And it's, I feel sad, like not seen, not heard. It makes me feel like, and I have to acknowledge that people don't want to fight with me. So I have to, first of all, work on that kind of confrontation style. If I want people to debate with me, I have to go about it with a different tone. But I also want people in my life to know that when I come at you like that, it's not like it's that's a weird fucking way I show love or like want to get closer to people. Because if I don't like you, I generally I guess not as a commander, but just as a pussy, I don't want to talk. I don't want to even engage with you. Like there are certain people that I like don't like, and I would be scared to debate them because I just don't, not because I feel like I'd lose, but because I feel like they're idiots. And
well,
like,
do you feel
I won't
like
win
you're
against an idiot.
Commander where you feel like you have the upper hand or that you will win?
No, because my sister stood up to me, and I told this before, but right around this time, my sister, I was going on and on about how I believe in God now and what that means to me. And my family obviously does not. And I came from a family that if you believe in God or any kind of higher power, you're kind of dumb and an idiot and just one of the sheeple. And so I was telling them I believe in God. My dad was not present because I just don't even want to bring this up to my dad yet. But it was my sister and my mom. We were talking about body acceptance and like liking ourselves and possibly the fact that we as women have low self-esteem. And my mom is a person that does not want to admit she has low self-esteem. I love myself. And I go, well, then why do you constantly say I look old and you look old and disgusting, you know, all these things. It's like, it doesn't match with someone. So I told her, she was, well, how am I supposed to do that, Nick? And she's like, you're beautiful and young and tall and thin. And of course you like yourself. And I'm like, but I will get old and look older and gain weight because you need fat because you fall more and your bones are brittle. That's why you get fatter and your metabolism slows down. You need fat when you get older. It will happen to me. And should I just hate myself then, Mom? She goes, well, how are you? And I said, well, I believe like God wants, whatever God is, wants me to look the way I am. And when I struggle with how I look, I just kind of trust that that's what, that's not, it's not in my control. It's not up to me. So it's not like me deciding to be fat. I'm like, God needs me to be fat today, like, or look this way. And that it
well,
wasn't
God likes a fat ass.
We know that.
Yeah.
Jesus was a chubby chaser.
Yes.
And so my mom, so my sister goes, so you believe in God? And I'm like, yeah, I just know God. Like, I just know you, there's nothing you could do to like convince me otherwise. It's just, it had an epiphany and I just know. I have to know, otherwise, fuck. And my sister was like, the way you talk, like, sometimes it's just like, it's your way or the highway. Like, you just know, and that no one else can ever, and I go, yeah, because that's, it's me, and I have a fig, of course I feel that way. Like, and it was the first time she's ever stood up to me that way. She was like, just the way you talk, it's like no one else can have an opinion. And I go, you're right. I was like, but I want so badly for other people to, I mean, I've had my mind changed by people going, actually, Nikki, no. I mean, you have before.
Yeah, but I just think,
but I have to change my tone.
I know. Tone, I guess people don't like to hear, well, it's your tone.
Because it's your so
tone.
Vague.
Because then you go, oh, you can't handle, like, but
no, I don't feel like
when someone talks, this is the thing. When someone like that, we met the owner of that theater the other day, and he was a little anti-Semitic. He was a little off his rocker, and he's talking to me a lot off his rocker.
No, a lot anti-Semitic.
Okay, so but me and Emil are sitting there.
I thought he was very on his rocker, which is the sad part.
John Rocker. That's for two. That's for two people that listen. Oh, you know it.
I know John Rocker.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, I know baseball controversy, but I don't know.
Well, John Rocker said the N-word, which is probably this guy's favorite player. But to my point is, this guy's talking about conspiracy theories, and he's talking about them so intently, and he has like a little bit of data backing it up. Where the last thing I'm going to go is no. America wouldn't kill fucking 3,000 people to get like
because you
like,
don't want to because we're it was the end of the night. You don't want to engage in that. And you're in. He owned the building.
He owned the building. But I'm saying a lot of these times you might.
I own the building.
Yes, you own this building.
Yes.
So people might not, or your sister for that fact. Also, it's annoying to have like some people don't want to. They don't sign up for a debate at 3 p.m.
Totally. And that's
but that
what
being
I
said,
to hear.
But that being said, I think like if you go. You know, I think I, you know, in my opinion, I believe in God as opposed to God is real. That's
right.
A two different kind of sentences.
Totally. I agree with you. And that's what I needed to hear. Like, as soon as she said that, I was like, I fucking respect you so much. Like, not that someone has to earn my respect. Like, it just was like, I needed someone in my family to stand up to me because I want it. That's what I'm trying to get, to be honest with you, is to be seen and to have someone go, you're this, like, we see what you're doing, Nikki. You want attention. You're not getting it. Like, here you go. Let me give it to you. Like, I'm trying to get, that's how I get love. Because in my house, you weren't getting attention unless you were yelling. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that, or being right or making a good intellectual point. Like, so I need to work on that. Like, I need to acknowledge that I seek attention and closeness from people by screaming with them as opposed to going like, hey, Andrew, can I have a hug? I'm really sad today. And like,
I would love
what to. What would that mean for me to do as opposed to going like, do you know that when you leave that light on, blah, 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 like that to me, that's getting you to stay around, look me in the eyes, talk to me. That gets me the same thing that honestly, it doesn't get me. It's not getting me what I want, which is like intimacy with friends and loved ones and closeness. Like with this canker sore, like I was so jealous of Brenna last night having like someone with her when she was feeling sick because I was in my room just in so much pain. And I'm like, God, I want, and it wasn't about like you because it's not like you would have been in my room with me if I was cankering out. But it was just like I saw how good it is to have someone go to the doctor, go to the store for you,
yeah,
to get you meds and to like kind of go get you water and like dote on you when you're sick. And I was just like, God, I want that. And I feel like I've done so much to like I am constantly pushing that away in my life and like don't want it because I feel like Because there's a part of me that also goes, oh, I'd feel so bad making someone run to the store when they just want to go to sleep, or that, you know, all of those things. What does it feel like to be able to take care of someone that isn't feeling well?
Well, last night, yeah, Brenna was sick. And so around 11 at night, and we didn't have any like cold medicine. We just had like...
You gotta stock up.
Yeah. And also whatever, however you want to say, but Tylenol is apparently better if it was COVID than Advil. Yeah. So I knew that.
It's not COVID. She got tested
she
did, this morning.
Yeah, she got tested. She was negative. But I was, you know, I don't even think about it. I think like when you love someone and like, I've never really felt this where I'm like... Like, if you I get help. Sick from her, okay, I don't give a fuck. I'm here with you. I'm riding or dying with you, whatever. Yes. And when I go to Walgreens, it's not like I'm like, there's not even like an ounce of me going, God, I want to just go to bed. Like, I can't believe I have to go to Walgreens. I'm just in autopilot to make her feel better. Yes. And that just feels fucking great because it's like, thinking completely outside yourself.
Yeah. I saw that yesterday with her. Did you notice when she was doing laundry? She was like, I'm just like, it was before she started feeling really sick. She was like kind of bubbly walking around the apartment. She's like doing laundry. She asked me if she wanted like to throw in any of my stuff. She's so sweet. And she's like, I think I'm just doing a lot of laundry because it's like for the first time, it's like free. And she was just like, I want to do it. And I'm like, get it, girl. And then, and Andrew was like, I love it too. And she was like, yeah. And I love doing your laundry. And he was like, you said something in response to that. You go like, yeah, it's awesome for me because I really need it done. And she said something. She goes, I actually like doing it because I like to think that it makes you happy and it's making your life better. Like, you could tell her motivation wasn't because, God, he needs it. It was like, you get happy when you have clean clothes and someone's taking care, providing you that. So I want to give that only to make you happy, not because your clothes are so gross, babe. What's going on? It was just her doing an act of love.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the laundry. And it was so apparent. I wish I would have written down exactly the interaction, but you had responded in some way that was like, yeah, clean, I need it so bad, like my clothes, like I haven't done laundry in a while. She goes, no, I'm just doing it because it seems to, she goes, or the fact that it just seems to make you happy and I like doing things that make you happy. It was like, oh fuck. It was so sweet. It's so nice to see. And my mom wrote me last night too, and she's like, my mom I think had a little boozy booze last night, and she was texting me. And she said, what did she say? It's, I'll do my mom's impression. It was so cute. She goes, she's like, oh my God. I sent her all these texts, people telling me on, because she, my mom was at the meet and greet on Saturday night with my dad. And so many people were writing to me being like, your mom is so beautiful. I have never once asked anyone to say that. Never solicited that. So I shared it with my mom because last night my mom was having a little bit of like anxiety about being on camera and stuff. And, you know, and as we all do, everyone, especially women of a certain age. And I sent her all these tweets that I got in DMs from people. And she's like, she's just being sweet. She'll say anything. And I go, will you not disrespect my fans this way? I didn't ask her to say that. This girl doesn't. So what? So when she also said she had fun at my show, was that a lie too? Can you maybe think that? And then I realized my mom thinks that when people say she looks beautiful, that they're lying, because my mom probably does that to people and is lying. You know, like we don't trust people when we are, you know, people that are so paranoid about being cheated on are usually cheating. And it's like, well, mom, you need to be more honest with other people in your life so that when they're honest with you, you can, if that makes any sense. So she goes, oh, she said the funniest thing. She goes, tomorrow on camera, can you be a better stage daughter? And I go, what does that mean? I would love to do that. And she goes, I just think it's funny. Instead of me being a stage mom, you're a stage daughter. And I was like, that is funny. Will you say that on camera? But anyway, she goes, all right, love you. Has Andrew been making a lot of noise in the other room? Ugh, I hope so. JK. So I guess she was saying like,
yeah.
And I said, he's been quiet. He and Brenna are so happy and cute. It's awesome. So happy for him. And that's, I was just like writing it. I'm like, oh, it's just spilling out of me. I'm just so happy for both of you. And I joke a lot about her being young and old soul and all those things. But I genuinely am like so happy to see you being loved by someone like genuinely, and you also doing that back, and like just even through the door hearing like the little like giggles and stuff, like not through the door, but like when I'm walking by.
Yeah, when you have the cup on the door. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I have mic'd your room secretly.
When you're pretending to be cleaning the windows on the 12th floor with a mustache on. Yeah. Yeah.
You knew that was me.
Yeah, I knew.
I'm so scared of heights, but I just wanted to see you two being cute.
Where did you get the rope?
Listen, I got a lot of it from my depressive days that I never used.
You already had it.
Oh my God. What do I do with all those little stools? Wait, what was it, Norm MacDonald's joke about the shaky stool store next to the rope store?
Oh.
Something about a suicide thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to get to the news, but I'm happy for you, bro.
Ah, thanks. Apparently, that's nice. Here we go.
You heard it here first. Hey. First.
I'm going to jump some Ambisol in my mouth. Yes, the shooting relief of Ambisol Maximum Strength. Who is ever going to buy Ambisol?
Minimum?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Ambisol,
You never hear Minimum Strength.
By the way, there's no...
Like a Seinfeld bit.
It is a Seinfeld bit. But
is it really?
It's about Tylenol, oh. Like extra strength. He's like, and what about the one that's just medium? No one's buying like, I just want a little.
Extra mild.
They just add those words to make you go, ooh, this is near barely legal Ambisol. That's what it makes it sound like. Like we're getting away with we're giving you stuff that usually you need a prescription for.
That's hilarious.
Don't tell anyone.
A woman is seeking. Oh, have all the swells.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't feel forced. It's very natural when I go have all the swells. A woman is seeking $1 million payout from Geico after allegedly contracting HPV. While having sex in a car insured by the company.
What?
So the company, so her car's insured by Geico, and she got HPV in
Did
her car.
Did she put the gear shift up her puss? Like
the
we
manual.
Recommended?
Yeah, she got it from the card that you put, your insurance card.
Oh, wait, no.
No, no, no.
Wait,
no.
her car is insured by Geico, and yeah. Now she got HPV from having sex in her car.
Yes. I think it was
this
her boyfriend's car that was insured, or her partner's car.
Oh. Sue your boyfriend.
Yeah, obviously, but the boyfriend's obviously poor. Can you sue someone for giving you HPV knowingly?
Desperate
maybe.
Times call for litigious, you know, desperation. Like this is just like an insane claim. You know that I watched this documentary about David Geffen on Netflix. If you don't know who David Geffen is, neither did I. I mean, I've always heard his name. There's one scene they show from The School of Rock. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
With Jack Black, and all the parents are like confronting him for the first time about like their kids are obsessed with rock music. And all these parents are going, why is my son listening to blah, blah, blah? And then one woman goes, why is my daughter suddenly obsessed with David Geffen? And I remember seeing that movie and going, who's David Geffen? I just assumed he was some bassist for something. He's a music producer. He was an agent, a manager, a producer. He watched this documentary, you guys. My dad recommended it over the weekend. Why I bring it up right now is because David Geffen once sued Neil Young. Because he had Neil Young on one of his record labels, mm-hmm. and Neil Young decided to be to make an experimental album and just kind of deviate from what we expect from Neil Young. And I can't even believe what Neil Young put out for a while. I mean, you wouldn't recognize him. He was kind of being like an 80s, like you would have thought you were watching a Duran Duran video.
Yeah,
in some of the stuff he was putting out.
It was like when Garth Brooks did Chris Gaines, kind of like oh yeah.
And Neil Young is in this documentary talking about like, yeah, I'm an artist. When you're a record label, you shouldn't be in it to make a profit. You should be in it to put art out into the world. And that's what you were doing. And sorry. And Geffen, because it bombed so much and he felt so annoyed that he would sign artists and then they would take these like artistic liberties, that he got some bad advice and he sued Neil Young to give, because he would give these artists extreme advances. He was great manager, great agent, really believed in his artists, lost a lot of money, would nurture them, be like, he was so cool. But he sued Neil Young for putting out like not giving you Neil Young. And he goes, Neil Young's like, I got sued for being an artist. They're still really good friends, but they never kind of recovered from that. But just the ridiculousness of suing these kind of,
yeah,
when you are just like, there have been times I think that I'm like, could I sue for that? Like, is there a way? And you know that woman got HPV and was just like, the wheels started turning.
Yeah. Who can I blame for this?
Of the
also $1 million. It's like, I mean, it's just, it blows my mind that, you know, so, or someone that slip and falls in Walmart and their first thought is,
oh my God,
hey, where's a mop? Where, who, why was there no sign?
Spade told me about his mom was walking in a Ross Dress for Less and she, there was some piece of equipment that they were like hanging something and it got left out in the shoe aisle and she tripped over it and sliced her leg like open. So like just bleeding everywhere, with just like muscle tissue was, and she, and David's like, you know, this is
Neil
kind
Young's
of a
fault,
place
probably.
To, it, yeah, it was Neil Young's, you
know, his music was playing.
His new wave phase.
So did she
that
sue?
That was playing in the Ross, yeah.
Did she sue?
No, she was like, that was my fault. I'm a clumsy old lady. And David was like, for the first time ever, it was kind of a fall in a store where it was like, they left like a chainsaw out in the fucking, like it was that egregious of like an error. And his wife, his mom was just like, no, that was, I'm just clumsy. It was my fault. And not that he was encouraging her to do so, but it was just interesting that like, there are certain people that can go, I would never do that. It's my fault. I'm clumsy. And then there are people that you're just, oh my God, it would be the worst thing ever. If, you know, there was a guy at my show on Chicago on Saturday night, first show, Noah. And I was about to bring up Andrew and his seat fell out from, like, I don't know what happened, but one of the seats were rickety anyway. They were great seats. You know, they set them up so it's not standing room only. And this guy's seat fell and he fell on the ground. It was, you know, truly probably so embarrassing for him. And I go, I even said, I was like, of anyone whose seat could fall, this guy is the best one because he was just looked like a biker. He was like a tough looking dude. His name was Kenny. Shout out, Kenny. You handled it so fucking well. I tried so hard
so
in that
amazing.
Moment.
He's at a law office right now. Like, I said, why you're saying this?
I said to Kenny, I was like, please don't sue. I was kind of thinking like, oh, yeah. I was like, let's move on because I don't want any.
Please don't call 800-888 Maury or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's always but like two guys on there. Like,
I was just desperate to make Kenny feel better because because
that girl fell through the meet and greet too.
Yeah, Kirsten's friend.
And you handled it. You really did like handle it so well.
She was the first one up because
it's so easy to point and laugh or feel uncomfortable.
She was a little bit drunk. She had drank too much, which I've been there. First of all, been in all these situations, you know, where something you draw a lot of attention to yourself because you didn't. He didn't want the chair to fucking fall or whatever. And this girl had drank a little too much, and she like. The backdrop for my meet and greet, it seems like it might be against a wall. And so she kind of leans back and all of a sudden it's not a wall. And then you freak out. And then, but she just like perfectly fell on this little stage and then sat down like, and the whole screen falls down.
Everyone can watch. It's on
everyone's
a stage.
Everyone's seeing you. Everyone's lined up to meet me. And they all, she's the first one up. And Kirsten told me she was so embarrassed. And I just want to shout out to her, Taylor. I like loved you so much more in that moment than if that wouldn't have happened. And I want to be friends with you, and you were so lovely, and maybe you had a little too much to drink, but, like, been there, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, I just took her, and I was like, listen, I have fallen on stage in the same way. It happens. It's funny. It's a good story. You're okay. And she was just kind of like, I was just trying to, like, please just know that this is okay,
and
no
one
cares.
And don't sue me.
And then there was this one girl. Did you hear the girl in line? Brittany in Kansas. Brittany, not cool. Brittany was a little drunk, too. And she was like, okay, you've been up there long enough.
Yeah.
To this girl that just fell. I'm like, let me have time with this girl and have her like kind of recover from it. It
reminds me of, I saw this video.
And then Brittany was nice.
It's on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. And it's Ronaldo, the soccer player who has, you know, 200 billion fans.
Yeah.
And there's an Asian kid trying to talk to him who speaks, you know, Chinese or Japanese or whatever. And he's trying to speak Portuguese. Right. And he's having a tough time. And everyone starts laughing at the kid, except for Ronaldo. And Ronaldo goes, no, he's doing a good job. Aww. And, like, made it a point. And everyone in the room, shit, it's like that quick of one person doing the right thing where everyone goes, oh, I'm an asshole.
Yes.
And that's what it reminded me of when you helped the girl up and you were like, no, this isn't. We could all point and laugh at her. Obviously, this is.
And it's going to happen to all of us. And I did that for the guy that fell. I go, you, we're all thinking right now, God, think like that would be, what if it were me? You know, we can point and laugh at him, but every one of us here is going, if we live long enough, is going to have a moment like that. So do right now what you would want people to do to you in that moment, which is like, who the fuck cares? It's funny. Fuck it. And the guy couldn't, the guy was so cool. I met him after the meet and greet and he didn't even remember, like, to have that happen right away at a show the whole time. I just didn't want him to be sitting there being like, that was so embarrassing. That was like, you know. I wanted him to be able to have fun, and he did. Kenny was awesome.
In 2014, a drunk driver had his penis and a testicle amputated after a horrific crash when he lost control of his car, leaving him a broken neck, jaw, hips, nose, pelvis, and brain injury. And today he says he feels like more of a man than before his accident.
Whoa. He's just one ball left.
Yeah, just one ball, I guess. Yeah.
He said his penis looks like a stump.
I get it, brother. at least you have a car wreck to blame.
Why does he say that? Why does he feel like more of a man?
He said they had to amputate my well manhood. It's like they chopped a tree down and it's a stump. I want to tell the world about the emotional toll this took and will always take on me. It has forever changed my life in a way that I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy. Happily single, he said, I feel like I can open up about it. I'm not ashamed anymore. Life's hard, but it's made me a lot more confident in myself. I realize it's not the most important thing, and that doesn't make you who you are.
Love it. You know, if anyone out there is listening or that might have a penis that they're not thrilled about and think and like to blame and like to think, not blame, but like think, oh, women are never going to love me because of this, or, you know, maybe some women won't. Some really like insecure women themselves, because we can only, the way we judge others is the way we judge ourselves. And so, you know, maybe there are some women that won't want to be with you, but I would definitely be in a relationship with a guy with a stump for a penis and like that survive.
There's a lot of TikToks going on.
Even if he was born with a stump and didn't have a cool like DUI story, you know.
Well, guess what? He's in St. Louis.
He is.
He's sitting next to you.
God, I love disabled guy. I hate to say that, but when a guy walks up that has like an injury or like needs help getting up the stairs, or it's just like, just there's something about a guy with a, that in a wheel, just any kind of guy, I just feel like they've been through a lot. It's like, it's the same way I feel about men when I meet them and they have a lot of trauma from their childhood. I'm just like attracted to people who have persevered past a lot of stuff. So I there's a sexiness to it. That I can't deny.
If they can handle the wheelchair, they can handle debating with you, you know?
Exactly. The commander will take your wheelchair. And
you like a guy with a peg leg because you're a pirate.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Commander. I'm going to get a telescope.
I mean, I think there's these TikToks now where it's like girls holding up like 7-8 inches. I don't want that. 9 to 10 inches. Not for me. And then it's, you know, 4 to 5 inches. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then that's like nice. Some guy will cut it to just this short guy going, let's fucking go. He's just so fucking stoked.
That's
on
cute.
It. And it is like it does. I mean, it is nice to put that out in the world that some girls don't need a long,
what about
long dick
lesbians?
Man.
Yeah. What about lesbians, y'all? Like, they're very they're very hot women that have been into men before and then suddenly they're dating a woman. Do you think they're just like sad the whole time? Hey, let's go to break and then come back and do Why Do I Care and then get into Reddit though.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast, because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know, because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues, like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a
fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try, try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest. With BetterHelp, visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Why do you care, Nick? Okay, Chelsea Handler says she has hope, quote unquote, for everyone in this world after falling in love at the age of 46.
Yes, I agree. I think that, I have... it gave me a lot of hope, too, because I know she was just like, I'm done, or like, it might not happen for me. And she also posted the other day or yesterday a picture of herself looking good, good, good. I mean, she's a gorgeous woman, but so gorgeous. And she said, maybe it's 3 days of
3 weeks,
3 weeks, 3 weeks of no alcohol. Maybe. I'm wondering if this new love she's found has made her reevaluate her drinking, because she's always been a big advocate of like getting drunk, and it's always like kind of made me be go like, oh god, I want to drink, because it looks cool and she's mm-hmm. so able to thrive and
she
have
just looks like someone that like a martini in her hand just makes sense, you know what I mean? Like she just, I don't know why, just something about her, it's just like it just goes with her.
She, yeah.
It, and then,
but
yeah.
She's done it. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like with drinking, I always go, you know, when people are kind of on the fence about quitting, and I know a lot of you are out there and you'll want to zip past this because you just don't want to quit yet. And you kind of know it's looming and you're like, I'm not ready. Then you don't need to yet. But there comes a point where you go, man, I have this coming up and I'm not going to be able to drink for this and all this. And I just go, you've already had your fun. It's over. The party's over. The parties have to end at some point.
Or a new kind of party can start, I guess.
Truth. But I think that sometimes I just want, I would get depressed when I thought about not drinking anymore. And I go, how am I going to do next, you know, Christmas Eve? I like to get drunk with my family. My birthday, blah, blah, blah. St. Patrick's, whatever it is that you go, what is that without drinking? Well, someday you're going to die and that you were not going to be able to have those anymore. So like, I'm not that you maybe just like that's you're dying. That part of your life, it's over. Things have to end. And so just because your life continues and you're like, I could keep drinking, maybe just go. It's over. I had my fun.
Life isn't over. Just life drinking is over.
But the thing is, life will be over sometime. So like, you can't keep doing everything forever, but like you can put an end to it and not be sad about it and be like, wow, it was like I had my fun. Like I had so much fun with drinking. I'm grateful for all the good times I had that I'll never remember. But it's just like you just don't get to do everything you want to do forever. That's the thing that I think people have to realize is like just because you want doesn't mean you get.
For me, though, for some reason, this Chelsea Handler, when or like not just with, but just when someone goes, there's hope for everyone. Mm-hmm. It comes off a little ugh to me because like it's like, OK, we get it. Like, but you could be broken up in 2 months. It comes off a little to me like a little like, oh, like even I like
it honestly helped me. I will
really
say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because first of all, it was someone that was in her life for a while that she didn't even like. The fact that, and she's someone who just like, she knows the score. Like, she knows who, like, she's a boss bitch and's like,
I don't need love.
Yeah. And like, for her to be able to reach a place where she is able to find this deep love that she was, it's not like she just met this guy on Bumble. Like, it was someone that she wouldn't have even thought. Like, that's what I like is that she, not that it was, I'm not trying to be like, you and I, Andrew, or something, or like a guy friend of mine. I'm not saying that with it, but I'm just saying things that I think I have figured out, I might not have figured out, yeah. Or they might change in a way that I go, oh my God, I never even like it could be a girlfriend of mine or it could just be a different type of person that I would have never looked at before that I haven't met yet. You know, like I just think that so many times I just go, you know, I don't need anyone. I'm fine. Because she really, the thing is, I think she got him at a time where she really did start to like herself and be okay with being alone. And I think once you're really okay with yourself and being alone, that's when you're able to let someone in and you're not like, I need someone.
And the standing ovation he gets all the time.
It's hot. Final thought. It's time for Reddit dump. We're doing a quick episode today just because, you know, I'm cankering out. Bitches, but I'm feeling good now because I just dumped Ambisol in my mouth. Okay. This is your Reddit dump. I thought it said canker mode. We should do that. Canker mode. All right, here we go. Oh, I love this. This is Paul McCartney on acid. I fucking love this. Noah, forgive me. This is a little bit of a long one to play. It's Paul McCartney getting interviewed about having admitted to a journalist that he did LSD. Okay?
While on LSD?
No, he's not on LSD. Okay. This is what I thought. It says on acid, so you think he's on it, that's but it's about him talking about it.
About 4 times. And where did you get it from? Oh, you know, I mean, if I was to say where I got it from, you know, it's illegal and everything. It's silly to say that.
Do you believe that this was a matter which you should have kept private?
But the thing is, you know, that I was asked a question by a newspaper. And the decision was whether to tell a lie or to tell him the truth, you know. I decided to tell him the truth. But I really didn't want to say anything, you know, because if I had my decision, you know, if I had it my way, I wouldn't have told anyone, you know, because I'm not trying to spread the word about this. But the man from the newspaper is the man from the mass medium, you know. I'll keep it a personal thing. If he does too, you know, if he keeps it quiet. But he wanted to spread it. So it's his responsibility, you know, for spreading it, not mine.
I fucking love this. Hold on.
But you're a public figure.
But you're a public figure.
First place. We must have known.
You said it in the first place.
We've made the newspapers.
Yes, but to say it, you know, is only to tell the truth. I'm telling the truth, you know. I don't know what everyone's so angry about.
Well, do you think you have now encouraged your fans to take drugs?
I don't think it'll make any difference. You know, I don't think my fans are going to take drugs just because I did, you know. But the thing is, that's not the point anyway. You know, I was asked whether I had or not. And then from then on, the whole bit about how far it's going to go and how many people it's going to encourage is up to the newspapers and up to you, you know, on television. I mean, you're spreading this now at this moment. This is going into all the homes, you know, in Britain. And I'd rather it didn't, you know. But you're asking me the question. You want me to be honest. I'll be honest, you know.
Yes. Don't you love that?
Yeah,
it's not even about LSD. It's about telling the truth. And when journalists ask questions and celebrities tell the truth about their personal lives, or anyone for that matter, it's the press that's getting the information. It's not them. And he was going to tell. He's not a liar. So now we're mad at him for not lying to us. Please, please, Paul, lie to us. Someone made a comment that said that I loved. Paul McCartney on the media. Wait, oh, it said, sorry. Let me just find this. Paul, isn't it your responsibility as a public figure to shut up and conform? And do you feel guilty now for telling the truth to a reporter? That's essentially what the guy was asking. I loved how he spun it.
I did. I enjoyed it. I think it is interesting when people go, well, do you think people will take drugs now? Because, well, I mean, every single guy had a mustache because of the Beatles. So I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's definitely. And they were like the only band.
Yeah, I want to grow a mustache and take acid and lose my penis. But,
well, I heard that on LSD, Paul McCartney has always said about LSD that his life is before and after LSD. Like, that's where it splits. And not the Beatles or the British Invasion, LSD. Like, it changed everything. And that, to me, was the mind of a man who's done LSD that's just like, I'm not going to lie. He's honest. He's a vegan. He's a good man. He's like...
There's got to be something, too, about those times when, you know, TV was just coming out. You know, like, life, there were so many more rules and, like judgment from religion and society. So when you took acid back then, it opened up your world. Like, we could go to the internet. Like, the internet is a little acid-y for a lot of people that want to find things that they never could have seen. But back then, you take acid and you're like, what the fuck? Like, these are the thoughts I can have? Because I've been so, like, ingrained in my head to wear this outfit and comb my hair this way.
I mean, talking about honesty that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've gotten to that place of, like, I'm not going to lie anymore because I've read Sam Harris's book, and he's done a lot of LSD to get to a place of, like, lying is not helping the world. Be honest. And so I think Paul was able to get to that place from LSD, but you're right. I'm able to get lessons from people who have done it because they're able to talk about it, and I'm able to read stuff online and listen to podcasts. But you're right. It must have blown their mind.
Oh, my God. They like, oh, a TV could be colored?
Well, that was the 70s, you know, in the 60s. Yeah. Like, the hippie movement was just people just, like, going to those places and, like, taking LSD and then making posters of, like, what they saw. Like, everything was just like, yeah, like, you know, tapestries and, like, patchouli and lava lamps. Like, it's all representations of this.
I find it interesting, though, when someone goes, well, there's a weird relationship with, like, celebrity and media, in the sense of, like, okay, you're kind of talking shit about media, but without media, especially back then, you would have no money in your pocket. So it's like...
But he's saying spread the... He's not saying media's bad. He's saying it's up to the... It's don't blame me for the fact that I didn't want to tell... I wasn't out there writing songs going... Do LSD and beat your
Lucy
wife.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
That wasn't telling people to do LSD. Now, comes back to the Neil Young thing. Like, he's an artist. He needs the media to, you know, put out his art, but it's not, he wasn't wanting to, and a lot of these guys do want to get on their soapbox and stuff, but, you know, Kendall Jenner poses with a cigarette in a photo and everyone's like, you're telling people to, the controversy around it becomes more of a,
yes, than the actual picture.
Yeah, highlighting. Yeah. So this one was from Taylor Swift, the subreddit Taylor Swift, but this one got around everywhere. This is almost like a sports moment. Clayton Kershaw, did you hear what he said about Taylor Swift?
No.
Dodgers starting pitcher Clayton Kershaw said, if you don't like Taylor Swift, you're just lying to yourself. If you're a dude and you think you don't like her, just get over yourself.
Wow.
That was a quote.
He's a badass, too.
They aired on ESPN. Loved it.
He's a great pitcher. He's, like, honestly one of the best in the ever.
Really?
Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, I've heard his name before a lot, and I loved that quote. Okay, here's something interesting. This is from antinatalism, which is like against being born. I guess it's like a subreddit about, let me just see what that even means. A community for antinatalism, the philosophical position that assigns a negative value to birth. It's a hangout. This is a hangout for antinatalists, not as a debate forum. Those who assign a positive or ambivalent value to birth are not welcome here. I don't even know. There was just something that attracted me. And yes. I'm anti like having more babies. But this is interesting. Ancestral mathematics. In order to be born, you needed two parents, four grandparents, eight great grandparents,
yeah.
16 second great grandparents, 32 third great grandparents, 64 fourth great grandparents, 128 fifth great grandparents, 256 seventh great grandparents, or sorry, sixth great grandparents, 512 seventh great grandparents,
1,044?
24.
Oh,
20. Eighth? You're really good at math.
2,048.
Yes! How do you know?
You're just doubling it.
Oh. Ninth great grandparents said, it says, for you to be born today from 12 previous generations, you needed a total of 4,094 ancestors over the last 400 years.
I mean,
isn't that wild that your existence depended on
that? Just you being born out of all the sperms is one in like a billion. Like, it's insane that we're sitting right here.
It really is.
And we forget that all the time.
I love that.
I watched a movie. It's on YouTube. It's called Quest for Fire. It has no dialogue. It's just about like, I don't know, like cave people and how they had to keep like fire ongoing. Otherwise they like, you know, they can't survive. It was very interesting.
Like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier like needs to keep going.
Yeah.
And it was just like made me think about how challenging and how much life sucked back then and how lucky we are today.
Yeah, the life before air conditioning and heat is wild. Yeah. Or the idea before refrigeration where you just had to, you had to kill something and like eat it within 2 days or like you're dead. I don't know. It's just fucking
there
like
was
every
so little
day.
Joy. Joy came from orgasms, eating, probably sleeping. It was just like there's so
That's
many
why
things
you go
now
to war.
Us-
life was so boring and horrible. You might as well kill another guy.
Yeah. I mean, life now is so, we are, I mean, reading this Cupid's Poison Arrow, just the amount of dopamine fixes we can get at any given moment, me sitting in this, me rubbing my dog, my domesticated pet, just like, oh, baby boy, me
in air conditioning,
me
using electricity.
Clothes that
we're talking to someone in Arizona right now.
Yeah, I mean that's not making my life any better, but I'm just kidding. What'd you say, Noah?
I said someone.
Someone, your not friend. Just someone, a mediator.
The mediator.
Yeah, it's just like it's. It really is. We're
but you always hear, though, which I find it's hacky at this point, but when people are like, oh, you're complaining about, you know, pronouns or you're complaining about this. Back in the day, we're just making up things to complain about. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from people. What do you feel about that? Like when people are like, you're just coming up with things to be.
I get really annoyed at the whole, you know,
not just pronoun, but like anything
that, but
where
that
like
that mostly really bugs me. Just let any who you have. So you have to now call like get a little bit awkward when you might call someone her when they want to be called they. They'll tell you, hey, I prefer they. Then it's a little bit awkward for you. But if they prefer that, what does it fucking matter to you?
But
like,
I think they're saying the people that want to be called they are making the problem.
So what if they are, even if someone is, you know, I said this before about the trans movement. Even if someone is choosing to, it is not really trans and just wants attention or just wants to be non-binary just because they want attention. How sad that there's a lot going on in that person's life that they need love so bad that they want to do that. Just give it to them. Just fucking give it to them. And you can, maybe if you can secretly behind their back go, oh, they just want attention and get some joy, dopamine hits out of making fun of them. But it's if you're really that angry about having to call people differently, like look at your own life and think about like why is it such a burden to you? Like I just don't get it. And like I have a couple friends who just kind of roll their eyes about the non-binary thing of like, oh, now they're going as Kos. Like there's a new one called Kuh, I think, that people literally go by. Well, Kuh said this. Like it's not neither he or she or they. It's just a thing. And I go, fine. Who cares? Like, it maybe it's a little cuh. Maybe that person wants attention. But, like, I mean, the whole... I watched Dave Chappelle's special last night, or enough of it to maybe feel like I can say something about it. But, I mean, I love how that guy can tell a story. I learned a lot watching it. I love Chappelle. I was kind of like half... I mean, I shouldn't even comment because I was kind of half watching it. But, and I was in so much canker pain. But... I just I'm so tired of jokes about women who used to be men, so they like have a beard, or they have like they're bigger, or like just making fun of trans people for not looking the way that they want to look, or like not passing, or being like, it's just I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to make fun of it, because yes, it's inherently a little bit silly to see someone, a man, in a dress, because we're used to seeing, it's a surprising thing, right? So equals comedy. But you should you be able to make fun of it? Yes, make fun of it all you want if you want. But to me, I do have feelings and compassion for people who have had more struggle than others. I prefer to, and I've made those jokes before too. I'm not gonna take myself out of it. But my argument is, we don't need to ban the jokes about it, but we need to understand that the reason we don't need to do those jokes is because, first of all, they've all been made. A guy in a dress, oh my gosh, he had a lower voice, whatever. They're not, like, just the, oh, it's, oh, guy wearing lipstick. Like, that kind of stuff's been made fun of enough. And those trans people have a higher rate of suicide than any other, you know, than any other group, I believe. They have only known people making fun of them and probably judging and hating them for who they are. Why do we need to make more jokes? Like, I get it that you're allowed to. I'm not saying ban it and you should be canceled for making fun of them. But just when you're why hurt someone that's already gone through so much to get to a place where they are? So that's why I hope to choose not to, like, that's why I don't make fun of fat people. They already are getting made fun of so much their whole lives if they've struggled with it, because it's just something that society for some reason feels like it's okay to make fun of. Comedians who are, you know, the best at making fun of things and pointing out what's different and what should be making fun of, why add to it?
Yeah.
It's not even about punching down. I don't think these people are down necessarily. It's just like, they've been through enough. Like, and yeah, I make jokes about about homeless people, but I'm making jokes about the fact that there's shit in the streets now because the homeless crisis is so terrible. We don't take care of mental illness. I'm not like, they shit in the streets. What's wrong with them? If I were homeless, I'd be better than that. No, I would shit in the street too. I'm just saying, comedy doesn't need to be this like, if you can't take it, you're not a comedian. Yeah. Fucking, I just say whatever. There should be compassion in comedy. Why not?
I feel you.
And Dave Chappelle is a very compassionate person. You can tell he's a very sweet person. And I need to watch the rest of the special to see where it goes. But there were a couple of jokes of like, you know, I like beating up a woman that he was like something about her. Just make it, there was a little bit of that, like making fun of women who present as men.
I mean, his big and you see it now on Twitter. And what happens his argument was essentially that, you know, African-Americans are below gay people in regards to, you know, society caring about them. Right. And obviously there's tons of African-American gay people. So it's like, okay, well, where does that cross over? But besides that point, it's like, you know, we care. So John Gruden got fired recently, and he said racist remarks, right? And then he said homophobic remarks. And now all of a sudden he's quitting. He was fired, essentially.
They let him get away with the racist remarks.
That's what people take Chappelle's special and they go, well, here it is. Here's a reason. He said, yeah. But he also said about 3,000, they went through all his emails. So he had like, not only homophobic, but he had way more racist, way more homophobic. Like, he went after everybody.
Right.
But people want to take, you know, what Chappelle said, and that's what people do, is then they go, oh, well, here's an instance of it where, you know, and so it's like, I think, like, there's nuance in Chappelle, like, a little bit more than people want to say. Like, a lot of people treat it at surface level, but a lot of people are going to take what he says, and then I think, like, what, and it's not just Chappelle, but people take what people say that with nuance, and then they go, they use it to back up maybe their actual home, like their actual like beliefs that might
people
be shitty.
Jumping out of their seats, like you see in the special, there's a couple idiots who just stand up and clap when Chappelle, and Chappelle's not making these jokes to start a rally against,
no,
like,
that's
for
what
trans
I'm, yeah,
hate.
Exactly.
But his audience might misinterpret it.
Exactly.
And you know what? Yeah. You're absolutely right. Like, in terms of making jokes based on stereotypes of the differences of black and white people, yeah, I guess I could lean off that too, because black people, I need to consider that they've been through a lot more discrimination and like maybe, there's no doubt they've been through more discrimination and felt could have felt worse about themselves coming up because of like the comments that they hear. So yeah, I should have compassion. Like, I extend it to everyone, but yeah, I mean, I could see that argument of like, oh, now suddenly people are listening because it's white people.
White gay people. Yeah.
Yeah. White gay people.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting point he made about that if two black guys called the cops would show up and not go, which one of you? They'd just be both.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I love Chappelle. I got to watch the rest of it, but we got to go. Right. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't be cut out there. And
Jack in the Box.
Oh, good one.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.